Ladies and fellows, men, welcome back to another episode of the No Script Podcast. It's your boy B-Rack alongside Dan Dutton.
What up?
What's good, my boy?
Living, man.
Nice, bro. So we got we have your better half here.
Hey, yo.
According to, you know, the community. It's not, those aren't my words.
You ain't talking right.
In terms of family, okay? Chill out. We got your big bro here, Robert Dutton.
It's been a while.
He's back again.
Dude, he has to be the most frequent guest, man. This is a W.
What is this, there's gotta third be some time?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to say something, a sought-after individual, not only on the podcast platform, but, you know, in other areas too. But, you know, look out for him. Robert Dutton could be on your staff one day. Just saying.
Fingers crossed. Need some prayer.
Yeah, and you see how well we treat our guests here at No Script when they keep coming back.
Sure.
You know, you come to the studio. You know, we got cucumber water. We got lime water. You know, so we got comfy relaxation.
Raisin Cane's.
Comfy headphones. Raisin Cane's. Extra sauce. Extra toast.
Extra slaw.
Extra slaw for Brian because that's what he likes the most.
Absolutely not.
He says, can I get the candy at combo, but instead of toast, can I get extra slaw? Instead of fries, can I get extra slaw? Instead of chicken tenders, can I get extra slaw? Instead of the drink, can you just fill that large drink up with slaw?
I'd probably be banned.
They just call the cops immediately. We have a psychopath here we need help with.
You want to talk about, you know, we got a plug. We're basically the plug for Rob. Like, it's not like there's a singular outlet sometimes, but I think it was more of a power strip. Multiple plugs, if you will. We got to help.
Yeah, and I'd also, on a separate note, would like to, you know, I'm not 100% healthy, so if you hear me sniffling over here, my bad. Okay, I'm going to try to mute when I do it. Sometimes it's a reflex.
Sometimes it's a reflex.
Put that out there.
It just happens automatically.
Yeah. So, my B, all right? I blame Luke. He brought the sickness into the house.
Wow. Like I said earlier, you know, picking on the, you know, the one that can barely speak at this point, and it probably has the least developed immune system out of the whole household.
I mean,
unreal.
But if he's the one, I don't pick on him, but I'm a realist. I point to the problem. So,
you know, just for the sake of optics, you could have just said, man, I just got sick.
No, I don't get sick. Somebody close to me has to infiltrate. That's my immune system's better than that.
This guy's deflecting blame. And he's not even there at the house to defend himself.
I learned from the best. I played Warzone with you for some years now, bro. You ain't never said nothing. It was your fault.
Dang.
To this day. If there was a stat in the Warzone barracks, mistakes made, B-Rex says zero. It says zero. In the last episode, we had a whole bunch of top five draft picks and whatnot, and one of the topics was our starting five for the NBA, all time, of players that we've seen play or seen enough highlights to make, you know, in our eyes, the best starting five, like, rotation. So go ahead and let the people know, what was your starting five rotation that you ended up drafting?
Yeah. So my starting five, not in order of draft. I'm just going to go.
Just name off the lineup.
Yeah, PG to center. So I had Allen Iverson. I'm a point guard. Shooting guard, I went with Kobe. Mm-hmm. Small forward, I had LeBron. Oh, ended up moving LeBron to the four. So I had KD at three, LeBron at four, and Joel Embiid at five.
Nice. And so mine, just straight from point guard to center, I had Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Tracy McGrady, and Tim Duncan, and Shaq. So
the Diesel.
Yeah. Like you said, that was like the wild card pick. You weren't expecting me to pick that one. So obviously it was a draft style. I think I was the leadoff for that one.
Yeah.
I was the one that started off the draft. So obviously in a draft, I would pick whoever I wanted to pick. He comes off the board and then it goes back to Dan and he picks who he wants to pick. And we kind of just go back and forth. So we haven't really had too many people give their opinion on who would win that hypothetical one-on-one, and that's all it really is at this point, is a hypothetical, because we're basing off of like their primes, and everyone's primes was in different eras. So for the sake of the argument, outside of the people that we asked, we actually put this in 2K's hands. But we had to dish this off to probably the best GM that we know.
Yeah, dude, this guy, Ronnie 2K ain't got nothing on my man's here, okay? Ronnie 2K ain't doing shit compared to what Rob's out here doing. 2K connoisseur, PhD in 2K.
Like, just to give a little bit of background, like, the last time I was in town and we played 2K, and every time I come over and you guys are around and you guys play 2K, you always do the draft. So give everybody like a little synopsis of like how that's all broken down. Like what a regular like gaming night of 2K is between you guys.
Go ahead, Rob. You got this one.
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of mix in some things when we get bored, but just the basis of it. Well, one person will pick East or West, and then the next person will just pick the team that they want, and then we set up for a fantasy draft, and we kind of cheat. We put the draft order fixed and custom so that we make sure that we have the first and second pick. So, for instance, when it comes out, say I pick the Bulls, had the 7th pick, and let's say Daniel picked, you know, the Knicks, and the Knicks had the 12th pick, we would just move them up the first and second pick, and then kind of just draft the whole for the season, make trades, do all that stuff, you know, kind of set up for draft picks. We try to do at least 2 years. So we'll do a year, and then we'll draft the rookies coming in that following year, or go through a free agency, stuff like that. I think the more we play it, the longer we let it go. Usually when we first get together, we do one season, see who drafted better. We'll play each other twice throughout the season, simulate the rest of those games, see who can make it the furthest in the playoffs. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose early. Very rarely do we not make the playoffs. It's happened, but very rarely do we not make the playoffs. And then just kind of started over. So I think we have like 14 different drafts on there. I was trying to clean it up earlier, but yeah, I mean, we kind of save our best ones and teams that we like the most. And sometimes they come together and sometimes they don't. We have our own strategies. Like I draft to trade, and Dana drafts to play with the guy. So I'll take 4 point guards in a row knowing that I'm going to trade 3 of them. But sometimes it works, you know, sometimes it doesn't. But just something different. We actually started doing this with our uncle when we were like 10, 12 years old. And we've been doing it, you know, ever since.
Yeah, in the early stages, I don't think I won a game for years.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just getting worried. I was a little kid, like elementary school level. And, you know, obviously, you know, Rob's 6 years older than my uncle's 10 years older than him. So it's like, I just got the business every time. And I'd play every time. And I specifically remember, like, it was like almost every Christmas we stayed the night over there and played all night drafting. And, you know, when they're playing, I'd be, you know, just hanging out with, you know, the cousins, little cousins and stuff. But every time, I feel like it was for years, I just got worked. And I wouldn't get beat and then just be like, ah, well, you know, I'm used to it. I would get beat and get fucking pissed. Oh, yeah. I would be so mad. But it happened every single time.
Yeah, it's been a lot of 2K. I mean, we went through so many changes. We used to find the glitches in the game. Like there was a year where it was hard to inbound because you just take a charge and there would be charge after charge after charge after charge. 1 year, yeah, on all the fast breaks, you can rip it when they were going up for the layups. Free throw, how many different types of free throws they've been through. Like, it's been, I mean, but yeah, we never took it easy on him. We used to blow him out, and now he's returning the favor. I'll tell you that. He's definitely causing some frustration.
It started slowly, right? I remember, like, it got to a point where I'd beat Uncle Mike maybe like a couple times, but I would never beat you. But sometimes he would beat you, and I'd be like, I can beat Uncle Mike. Why can't I beat you? And then I'd start beating Uncle Mike more and more. Then we got to like 50-50, and I finally would win against you, and I'm like, let's go.
Groundbreaking stuff right there. That was a turnaround.
And talk about like weird things like 2K related. Dude, I remember early on, like when we were playing at Uncle Mike's a lot, I feel like it was, I think it was like Vince Carter and I think Richard Jefferson. They had like a glitch where if you ran baseline and just took the right stick and did a circle, they would like 360 dunk over anybody that was there. It just didn't matter.
It was definitely Vince Carter. I don't know if it was Richard Jefferson. I think it was Richard, not Richard, Jason Richardson. Jason Richardson. I think that's what it was.
All right, I was thinking. But yeah, there's that. And then, yeah, like you said, the fast break. Anytime you'd fast break with LeBron and he'd do his dunk, he'd do the tomahawk, so he'd pull it back. And all you had to do was be trailing, hit the block, and they would just smack it out the back of his hands. It got to the point where we'd fast break and either slow up or like let go of the turbo and like force a layup, because it's like, we're just, if you dunk on his fast break, he tomahawks, it's just a block.
That's so dumb. That's such a bad bug in the game.
I know. And then there was like, Rob was so good with this one where it'd be a pump fake. And yeah. Every pump fake, if you jumped up, the like animation was to jump into the player and get the foul.
Oh my God. But at the That's point annoying. Where
like, yeah, you couldn't jump contest any shots because he would pump fake so much and I'd fall for it. And he'd get these free throws. I'm like, God dang it, dude.
The whole squad be fouling out.
I didn't know with the Johnsons in.
the created bench.
Oh, man.
So that's basically the basis of our draft that we had. So Rob fired up 2K. Would you start this yesterday?
Yeah. So I had to, brought it up. It was a little more difficult just first time doing it, trying to get everybody from all eras. But I had to just go to roster, and they actually – and I didn't know in the beginning. If I noticed in the beginning, it would have been a lot quicker. But there's a column that actually has every single player that's in the game. So, like, for instance, when you go to it, there's, like, 13 different Michael Jordans. And they're, like, just certain years. Like, probably years that he won MVP or they won the championship or whatever. There's, like, 6 LeBrons, like, 5 Kobes. There's just – if they were on any roster, put in 2K. So once I found that, it made it a lot easier because I could just sort by name and start putting you guys' rosters together. The hardest part was when you guys did the 6-man draft. So did you want to talk to him about the 6-man, or you want me to talk about that?
The 6-man. Yeah. So, I mean, you can give them, you don't have to give them the players, just, kind of, that was more of a discussion between you and Dan before you told me. So,
once, Dan and Brian was telling me about wanting to put it in 2K, I was just troubleshooting and thinking that, they're not going to let me start a season with only 5 guys. So, what we talked about is they actually drafted 3 apiece of the list of guys who've won 6-man awards. That was the hardest thing because I was trying to find, I didn't want to take the best James Harden. I wanted to try to find the year that James Harden was the actual 6-man. So it took a while to kind of sort through there and see if they had him. If they didn't have him, I wouldn't take the best of that player. I'd probably take the middle if there was 3. If there was just 1, then obviously I would take him. But that right there was probably took the longest to try to match up the year they won the 6-man and add him to your rosters. But finally got it done and went ahead and started that up last night.
So you had us pick 3 out of this list that you gave us. So Dan went first. He ended up selecting Lamar Odom. And my dumbass wasn't thinking, when I was reading it, it wasn't clicking that this was part of the starting 5 that we had drafted in the last episode. I'm thinking, oh, we're coming up with a starting 5 of 6th men that, that have won the award and stuff. So I'm thinking, okay, these are going to be my picks and whatever, as long as Dan doesn't pick. So my first pick, no matter what way I was looking at it, I picked James Harden. So I got James Harden. Dan took Ginobili, I took Antoine Jameson, and then Dan took Jamal Crawford, and then my third. Oh wait, hold on. Did I go third? No. I took a 4th by accident. I was like, I'll take Montrezl Harrell. I was like, oh wait a minute. I was like, I didn't mean to take this guy. I only took him with the intent of, I thought we were drafting a starting 5. I was like, so drop Harrell. Let me get J.R. Smith. So my 3 was gonna be James Harden, Antoine Jameson for size and for shooting, and then J.R. Smith for the athleticism and the 3 ball. So I know you were able to get all those guys together, and I think you said that Odom wasn't in any of the rosters, so Dan had to pick a backup. So
2K decided they weren't going to associate with a crackhead, I guess.
That is crazy.
Crazy, my bad.
You're right. I mean, he did return from the dead. I mean, that's got to count for something.
Yeah, man, put my man back in 2K.
Exactly. Just like the doctors put him back to life.
He deserves it, man.
He definitely deserves it. So your backup was Bosch, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Bosch didn't have, obviously, a 6-man award, but play style, size, stuff like that. I thought it was the closest. So I found him somebody that was like that position, ranked around the same. They're, both 85, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So
okay, that'll work. So we got all the players drafted, all good to go. So before every season starts, there's usually a power ranking of, you know, before the season starts, like which team looks the best, most likely to win a title and stuff like that. So Rob sent us a text, said hit Dan's Bulls were ranked number one and my Blazers were ranked number two. And we were set to meet up during the regular season twice that year. So he gave us updates on what the records were like during the season, which is kind of irrelevant unless we don't make the playoffs and stuff. So we kind of just care about what these teams would look like and how they would fare against each other in this hypothetical situation for the sake of 2K. So,
yeah, and a quick question. So yeah, when we did the team and stuff, what made you choose Portland?
I knew I wanted to go with somebody in the West. I don't know. I think I was probably thinking of Damian Lillard at the time. So I was like, Portland kind of cool.
It's funny because like when you said Portland, I was like, well, I got to go East now, make sure we meet up in the finals. I just went to the Bulls game when they played Portland. So I was like,
that's crazy. I went Bulls. I didn't even think about that. I just like red and black. Like red and black are just like my color. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go with Portland, man.
Yeah, I do Bulls red and black too. We just aesthetically pleasing.
Match made in heaven, you know, it's the finals everybody wanted.
Except Jordan's on the wrong team.
And the Blazers actually, you know, we'll see what they did at the end. So give us the first round of updates, Rob, that you gave us this morning.
Back up, see what I had sent you guys. So I simulated up to the first game where you guys played each other. And at that point, make sure that I'm there, right? Yep. At that point, Blazers had moved into the number one power ranking at 45-7. I have no idea what seven games you lost. That's very shocking to me. And then the Bulls moved down to the second power ranking at 40-11. So I went ahead and simulated that game, against each other. I watched it just to see. Just to give some feedback on how the teams were playing, and gave some feedback on just personnel and how they were playing. And the Blazers end up winning that game. I forget what the score was. I'm trying to see if I had it in here. T-Mac was MVP at halftime and the full game. Oh, 134-108. Blazers won that game.
Which game was that? Oh, the first matchup? Okay.
Yeah, but I threw some crazy notes in there. T-Mac had 56 points. Shaq had 21 rebounds. Tim Duncan had 19 rebounds. Those were just – they were just killing. I mean, watching the game, you could just – they just – there was one series down there. They shot five threes, and Shaq and Tim Duncan rebounded every single one of them.
So go by – like, let's start with, like, Dan's starting five. So, at like, the after the first – update before we played each other the first time, we're about 50 games in. Blazers at 45-7, Bulls at 40-11. So when you're looking at Dan's team, like what were some like pros and cons, play style, like who was looking the best? Because you did play with each team at least once.
Yeah, I played one random team for each team just to see, kind of mess around a little bit. But actually, I thought on paper, before we got in, just my personal opinion, I thought Daniel's team was going to be, you know, better. And obviously style of play is going to change. Like I play a little bit different than somebody else. They may play better at Daniel's team or your team, whatever. But just for me personally, before I played the game, Daniel's team looked better to me on paper. That was the team I would pick. That was the team that I would assume would have won. I thought it would be the team that would have won most of the simulated games as well. And then I played with the Blazers and it was like, with that team, it was like, it was just like put together perfect. Like those dudes, like, were running. It seemed like they ran more plays. Like watching them during the simulation, like they ran more plays. When I played with them, it was easier to shoot. It just felt like those guys moved well. They were cutting at the right time. They honestly, and I'll tell you guys this, but they made Shaq too good in this game. Like he's just as fast running up the court as Steph Curry. So I would just literally take Steph Curry, run down the sideline, and Shaq would just run right down the middle, and he'd beat everybody up the court. I just lob him the ball. He would dunk it. It was just like, it was almost cheating. But when I watched the simulated game, he did the same stuff. So it wasn't what I was doing.
Like just,
yeah, it's just how they, and they ran a lot of pick and rolls with Tim Duncan and Steph Curry. And that was just another, seemed like cheating, but, both defenses were really, really good. So going player for player, I know I did this with you guys, but going player for player, I think Curry in the game too. Curry over AI, just play style for me. but also watching them and how they played. Allen Iverson shot 34 times. He doubled the next person on the team in shooting. Like, he didn't pass the ball at all when I was watching the simulation games. So he kind of hurt the team a lot. So I go Steph over AI. Next one was, I'm trying to think who you had the two. Oh, McGrady.
Kobe.
No, Jordan. They had Jordan at the three. Jordan. They actually had McGrady playing the two in the simulated one. That was kind of a wash. McGrady's offense was crazy. I mean, he didn't miss anything. I actually thought he was going to be the weak link when you guys did the draft.
So did I.
I thought that was going to be the reason that you would lose, and it was absolutely the complete opposite. I mean, nobody could guard him. And when they moved him to point and one of the substitutional rotations, he was on fire. So definitely I'd go with play style. I'd go with Tracy over Kobe, which is crazy because Kobe's really, really good. And it was Fro Kobe too, the 22-year-old Kobe that was
– Froby.
That dude – when I played the game, it was nasty, but the simulation, Tracy McGrady, was crazy. Jordan, unfortunately, I couldn't play with him. He's good. I mean, watching him, obviously, he's good. He's 99 in the game. He does everything. But his shot was just a little difficult for me, just how he shot. So I missed some easy shots with him, which got him cold. So he didn't really finish the game. The game that I played, he didn't finish very well. The simulation game, same thing, just kind of average. You know, ran the court well, shot whatever. I mean, he didn't stand out. Tracy McGrady, Steph Curry, Shaq, Tim Duncan, those guys were just playing at a different level. Then on the other end, the same thing. Like, LeBron did what LeBron does, triple-double. It just kind of came. It wasn't forced or anything like that. He kind of just in all the simulation games and the game I played, he finished all three with a triple-double. So he kind of just did everything. So I was going to go – even with that, I would still go – for me, LeBron over Tim Duncan at the four. And then Shaq over everybody. I mean, everybody in the game. So it didn't matter what center was there. I'm going Shaq
over everybody.
I missed KD. So it was KD and Mike. I'd go KD over Mike, just play person, just because of how I play. Mm-hmm. But overall, I thought the Blazers team was kind of put together a little bit better after playing.
Sounds like to me that the game was kind of cheating with Shaq. He's not that fast, dude. Call a redraft.
I don't know about what a redraft.
You gotta save the team. So if we're ever in the, whenever we're in the area all together again, we could play.
Yes, I saved them.
Oh, yeah. you saved it? Okay, cool. So, let's see here. What about the benches? How would you? How would you classify or how would you rate how our sixth man or people coming off the bench, how they did?
I don't think they did. How they made Jamal Crawford. I mean, the guy won so many sixth man awards, like he should have been a little bit better. They didn't really have they didn't have the years that he won sixth man as the ability to pick. So I had to pick like a 32-year-old Jamal Crawford. So he didn't produce how he should. JR was JR. I mean, he hit some threes. I think the best sixth man that was out there ended up being Ginobili. Ginobili played really, really well in the simulation games, did everything, played defense, knocked down some threes, was cut to the basket, played really well. But James Harden, if he's, I mean, just a little bit open. I mean, him and Steph were just on fire in all of those games. Simulation-wise, which – isn't good because I know you didn't pick him, but I think who we replaced with Lamar Odom?
Chris
Bosh
played pretty well. Just his, being able to stretch the floor and shoot the three. It looked like through the simulation games when I was checking like box scores and stuff, he was playing the best out of all the six mans drafted. But again, I know that's not fair because he wasn't necessarily a six man. So if I had to take someone who's actually a six man, Ginobili would have been the best draft there.
So Dan, we talked about after Rob gave us the results of how the rest of the season went, and you're like, I'll make all these changes and blah blah. Like acting like the head coach. So you tell me
when I drafted to that, that would I would be in our ideal. I'm on the bench and I'm calling the shots and I'm telling AI, like,
that's
hey,
the coach.
Stop shooting the, coach. The damn ball so much. This ain't Philly. It's not Eric Snow next to you, okay?
So what would you have done in the video game? Or, you know, I guess the same rules could apply in real life too. Like,
I think it could play. Like, if we're simulating or if we're playing, it'd be different. Because if we're playing, I'm busting your ass with anybody I got. All right.
Listen, man. The game, there is no bias in the game, okay? It was two AIs playing against each other. And I'll just say that I'm not going to say, like, Steph Curry is smoking AI. But the game just showed you right there. I told you AI is way too ball dominant. He hasn't played with major superstars like in his career outside of a young Carmelo Anthony. And why is this guy putting up 34 shots and LeBron's only putting up two in a game?
That's the thing, right?
Doesn't make sense to me.
And in our draft, communicating with these guys in our hypothetical draft, you know, that's just the only part that's missing in the 2K is I can't go and be like, hey, stop, you know.
Yeah, I just want to know, like, between game one and two, what would you have done defensively to stop Shaq?
Nothing. When you drafted Shaq, I said there's nobody I could do to stop him.
Do you regret who you drafted?
No, I stand by my team.
You don't think he'd replace that center you got? We don't know his name.
I don't even know what any center that would have done anything different. There's not a center out there that's that size that could run. If they got Shaq running as fast as Curry.
Maybe Giannis?
He's not a center. We had a draft per position.
Yeah, but you eventually ended up moving people around anyways.
But to positions that they played. Like, LeBron plays the four often.
Giannis has played center.
Not often.
But enough.
Nah, not enough. Not based on the rules we were going with.
So if we go, you know, you guys ended up losing game two. Rob sent us the stat, 127 to 110. Again, it's just a simulation, hypothetical. You know, we know this is never going to happen. But just because I drafted so successfully.
Settle down. See how big his head you got?
A third party entity got a chance to watch this game and say that this team just plays way better team ball. You know, everybody gets a shot. It's like Oprah. Like, you get a shot. You get a shot. The running plays out here, just unbelievable. That is an organization you want to play for from top to bottom. So we fast forward to the end of the year. We get both teams' records. We're both number one seeds. Your Bulls are 62 and 20. I mean, it's cute. It's a nice record. I went 70 and 12.
Oh, let's talk about that for a second. All right.
What's up?
How in the world did we put two of the best teams that could ever be put together, and they still don't beat that Warrior record?
I don't know. Listen.
What?
I don't know. I would like to know what the scores were for the 12 games that I lost. Like, I don't understand it.
Rob and me, when we've done this, and I'm over there for the weekend, or he's over for the weekend, and he continues it, like, after I'm gone. He sent me some rosters that he's put together that's, like, broken that record.
Really?
Yeah. And these two teams lost?
Rob, do you remember any of the rosters that you've had in the past that had, like, an amazing record? Do you have, like, any of them saved?
We used to play the game so much, we knew how to cheat. So there was one year, I don't remember what year, it would have been whatever year. God, what's my guy's name from Duke came out? Jabari Parker.
JJ?
So we had class down so much of, like, who was going to be the best players and whose attributes were going to be, you know, who's the steal of the draft. So we would literally do all these trades and get, like, four first-round draft picks. And we would trade with, like, the worst teams, and we'd get lucky sometimes to get the first few picks. There was one time, I think we had combined, me and him, I think we had, like, six of the top 10 picks in the draft. And those dudes were, like, cheat codes coming in. Like, it was like Jabari Park. I don't want to mix these classes up, but like, who else we were drafting.
Give me a second. I can look it up. But I think it was like the, like Emmanuel Mudiay and them, because we thought he was going to be good. I thought it was his draft class.
I think it was the year after when we got, like, really, really good, though.
What do you remember? What 2K was?
Damn. 2015 was, because it was like, I swear it was either 14 or 15, right? I feel like it was the 15 draft class. I'm looking at it now because I remember we were taking people like Mario Hinoja, yeah. Jahlil Okafor, Karl Anthony Towns was in that draft class.
Maybe that's what it was.
Moutier was in that draft class. Stanley Johnson.
Yeah.
Justice Winslow. Oubre was in that draft class.
Kelly Oubre.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was. I mean, we've done it multiple years. We'd find out. We'd play so much. We'd find out. You know, it didn't really matter what class. But there was a couple of those years where that second year going in, you know, we'd have our first pick, you know, LeBron sometimes. Giannis the last 2 years has been like the best player in the game. Like we actually had we'd make rules like, hey, we can't draft this person. We can't draft this person. And he was one of those guys that just, you can't beat. Whoever had him won the game. Like you can't beat him. So we'd have him sometimes we wouldn't have those rules, but I can't remember a roster like off the top of my head, but I mean, we put together crazy, crazy rosters. Young guys who all of a sudden they're in their last year of the contract and everybody in your starting lineup is like a 90s.
Jeez. Yeah, that year where that draft class was like OP, we would – it was like you, now when we play, and most of the time we play that first year is like my favorite year. And then you were always the better GM of – I know this money. I'm only drafting this guy because he has a 1 year contract for this much money. Next year, I'm losing that big contract. He'll be good for me 1 year, or I could trade him. Rob was really good. I didn't look at money years or nothing. I was like, I want to play with him. I want to play with him. I like playing with him. And then I'd figure it out later. And Rob was like, cool. But then that year of 2K, it was like we were both like looking at that. Like I don't care. And we'll play. Maybe play. I said, yeah, sure, we'll play. Simulate to the off season. Let's get these picks down. And get this draft, and then it was the second season that was like the most competitive because we'd have, you know, and then we'd simulate and do the third season because all those rookies, you know, progressively would get better, and that's when we'd have like those full lineups in 90s. I remember, yeah, like you said, we had like six of the top 10 drafts, and like that draft class in that year of 2K is why I thought Emmanuel Mudiay was going to be so fucking good in the NBA because he was so good in 2K after that first year.
Supposed to be though.
Yeah, he definitely didn't pan out to do much of anything.
No. I mean, but the same thing with, like, Okafor. Like, Okafor was a huge player in that 2K. And, like,
crazy upside.
Yeah, and now, I'm saying, what are he doing?
He ain't really doing too much. So, yeah, I don't know how, with the teams that we constructed, how we don't eclipse at least 73 wins. I was close. I mean, damn. So, league MVP.
Don't make no sense to me.
No one would have guessed. Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan, league MVP. Do you remember what his stats were?
I remember his points because I was like, how the hell is he MVP at 17 points a game? But then I looked and he averaged 14 rebounds and 9 assists and 4 blocks. I was like,
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's four
blocks is hard.
And so I went and looked at like the leading, like there wasn't anybody that was crazy. Like honestly, the leading scorer was Jason Tatum for the entire year. There was just so much talent on that one team that everybody was averaging like 21, 22. And then Tim Duncan was at 17. So like on both teams, it was pretty spread out on who averaged the most. Jordan averaged, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he averaged around 21, 22. Everybody was around 21, 22. And then on Daniel's team, it was the same. But I think Allen Iverson actually led in points. But he probably shot. I mean, he shot most of the time anyway. But
letting shot attempts.
Yeah. See that heart pick is seeming to be the one that's hurting my simulation.
That's the one that's your Achilles heel right there.
Yeah, picking with your heart, dude. I'll do it to you.
Who's this Shaw guy? You said one defensive player of the year.
Put Shaw in the take? Oh, yeah.
Okay, my bad. Now that I was rereading it, I was like, wait, did he mean Shaq?
I thought you were just
Brian Shaw
just now.
No, my bad. Yeah, it's Shaq one. So all the reward awards at the end, Tim Duncan MVP, Shaq was defensive MVP, obviously both on the same team, which leads to that record that he had. And then GM of the year, I went in and changed their name just to make it a little more personal, but good old Brian Rack, GM of the year.
Blazers. Congratulations on the hardware, sir.
Appreciate you, man. and we were both number one seeds. And like literally after he texted us that, and I've seen the simulation of you guys, like when you play your seasons and stuff, where you guys don't always meet up in the finals. So I was like, bro, our teams are so good. If we do not meet up in the finals, I'm going to freak out. So Rob sends this huge text of the first round, second round conference finals and the NBA finals, a whole breakdown of one text. First round, no issues. Portland, gentlemen sweep of Golden State. Bulls sweep Miami, no issues. Second round, I sweep the Lakers. Dan, Bulls had a little of an issue there with Toronto.
Nah, no issue. Just a little jet lag or something. What you get?
A little jet lag. I don't know, dude. I think who was on the team? You said Levine? Levine and Lonzo? Yeah, they ended up picking up
Levine and Lonzo on that team.
It had to have been their contract year, man. They're just balling out, just trying to get paid for that next year.
Well, the thing is, dude, what we've noticed with like 2K always, for some reason, we'll have great teams, and the team that'll win the championship and like beat us will be like, I wouldn't say trash team. They have like one good player, and that's it. And it's like there's been so many times where we look at this team like this team won. Like we don't get it.
Be like Paul George and a bunch of role players.
Dude, exactly.
For some reason, like just think about it right now. Last year's game, it was like Jimmy Butler. Whatever team Jimmy Butler was on, for some reason, it was like it'd be like Jimmy Butler and
they always won.
I'm trying to think like just a random like power forward. I'm like. What's my man's name from Toronto? Siakam. Like those two win the whole champion, win the whole thing. And like the rest of their team is like not bums. I mean, nobody in the league's bums, but compared to the rosters we were putting together, it's like it didn't make sense.
Like they weren't anybody to sneeze at, and like that's the team that's a winning. So after Dan's little scare, little bump in the road, we sweep the conference finals. Now the NBA finals was interesting. I wish I would have known the scores because we ended up going back and forth. So I took game one. Dan took game two. I took game three. He takes game four. I take game five. So I'm like, okay, we keep going back and forth. Keep going back and forth. And at this point in time, we're waiting for Dan to wake up because we all wanted the results at the same time.
Well, you had some early birds, dude. Right? I was up late.
No, we just get up like reasonable human beings, but yeah.
Well, it's not my fault you had a 6:30 oil change followed by a 7:30 haircut.
I didn't go to it, okay? I am going to work out. I'm going to get the oil change on Monday, okay? So that's not the point. Anyways, we finished the simulation, and I mean, to nobody's surprise, at least not to my surprise, the Blazers won. We took care of business. We were the first team to go back-to-back wins in the finals. So we got it 4-2. MJ was MVP. If you're at the right set of ears hear that, they're just never going to let Dan live that down. So,
dude, good thing our close friends don't support the podcast like we expect.
So, dude, I'm just – I don't know, man. My hypothetical starting five – just walks your starting five, bro.
See, and part of me wants to be like, hey, man, I told you we live and die by 2K. And you had a good team. Congratulations. But then you make comments like that. And I'm like, fuck you and your team. Fuck Portland as a whole. All right.
Dude, I mean, I can't wait. Like when I come back and we're all hanging out, dude, we're using those teams. I'm walking you. I'm gonna study the game. I'm gonna YouTube how to properly use Shaq and Tim Duncan, dude. And you're like, dude, I just can't do anything with them. They're just too good in real life and in the game.
You see, that's gonna be a downfall is letting me control the outcome. See, you let the simulated players and simulated coaching and rotation and skill. Okay, but you put the controller in my hands and I'm running the offense.
And then we're turning fatigue off.
It's a wrap.
And then even if you don't turn fatigue and injuries off, like, dude, the game's already doing it for me. T-Mac at the point. My subs are coming in. James Harden come out the bench. Like, bro, who are you going to leave, bro?
It don't matter. We're talking putting the game in my hands. It's a wrap.
Just can't compete, man.
Because then all those, shots AI was forcing up, they're saying those don't exist as much anymore,
I mean, you're going to have to, man, because everybody else can get locked up. Like KD can't get free because Tim Duncan sent that shit.
False.
Joel Embiid, we haven't even, like, that's the first time you mentioned this dude's name. No one even knew who your fifth was. Like,
Yeah, what did he do? Did he do anything?
Not really. I mean, some rebounds here and there, but nothing crazy.
Get on every poster that Shaq ever made in that game.
He was like, who else would I have? I had to take somebody in my hypothetical that would pull him out of the paint a little bit. If he didn't do that, it's because I wasn't controlling the game like I would.
Yeah, man, just you should have. Maybe when you play, you can just do Hack a Shaq. You know, force me to make free throws or something. So you want to cut to the next segment, man? Like just the thrill and highlight of your entire life.
If you have anything else you want to say, anything else?
Me or Rob?
You.
I don't know. Where should I start?
Anybody you want to thank?
Anybody I want to thank? Well, first of all, I want to thank me for even drafting this team in the first place. secondly, I'd like to thank the players. Like I said in the text, like they're the ones out there putting in the work. You know, I just draw everything up on the dry erase board and see if they can bring my thoughts to life on the basketball court, and they did. Man, basketball operations, Robert Dutton. You know, I know he's playing both sides, but he definitely he was the mastermind behind putting this squad together.
Fans of Portland.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you can't do it without the commissioner. You know. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to thank right now. So, you know, like I said, I can't take all the credit.
Well, congrats on your win, sir. Great team you put together. I think Shaq in 2K is not accurate, and I think that's tough. But, you know, it is what it is.
Do you have those – so is that save, Rob? Like, can you run that back again, like, in another season? Oh, okay.
So is it – so – whenever, you know, hopefully some point we all can get back together again and then play it. It's just a season, right? So we'll just simulate the season and just play, you know, we run the finals back or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, we can't do too many simulations, right? Because then they're going to start aging.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll just do like, I mean, how many seasons do you want to play?
No, I thought that's what you were getting at. Like, let's just keep running and see what happens.
No, we can. I mean, like, not right now. I mean, maybe, like, once. Like, I would say, like, would be fine. So that way, like, when we meet up, like, it'd only be, like, the third simulated season we would play.
It might be hard to keep everybody on the team, though. I mean, I can make it work. Turn stuff off.
Tracks and stuff. Yeah.
Turn everything off. So.
All right. So, all right, are we transitioning now? Okay, you got the glory, you won.
I got my gloating out the way.
Yeah, you can have it from now until we play in person, and then I beat you, and then you'll be like, well, simulated, I was still better. Listen, you know, you'll find a way to win it.
I'll bet, when the playing field is leveled, and I'm not playing against somebody that, like, played 2K their whole life, like, you know.
Yeah, see, tone's changing already.
I can't lose. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, 2K, good job. You know, you won, whatever. Who cares? Appreciate you, Rob. But in the same arena of basketball, you know, somebody on my team who obviously, you know, done it all, like he's been doing it all for 20 years, LeBron James, number one scorer of all time. We watched it, you know, live. I wanted to record while we watched it. You were being salty, so you didn't want to. So we had to do it, you know.
It was like that freaking weekend. Midnight over here, bro.
Okay. That was a part of history, so history knows no time.
Well, like I told you, like when we saw that Instagram video, like, why are we so poor? Like, bro, the stream literally lagged right before he put that shot up, so I wouldn't have been able to see it and cheer at the same time you guys cheered. So
we'd be like, yeah! You'd be like, why?
Dude, I didn't see it. Shut up.
Oh, man. I was like I said, on Facebook, I don't follow these pages, but like you click on like certain profiles a lot that like suggested popped up, right? So I get a lot of these like Bulls Forever, Jordan fan type Facebook, because I'm like, let's see what they're talking about. And I'll see them, and I just see, dude, it was like this year, the closer and closer he got to passing that stat. It's like really LeBron's career, the more and more he gets accolades and successes, the more and more those pages hate and hate and hate. And
leading, something to talk about.
Yeah, it's like they're so afraid of, you know, somebody coming at their king's head like that, that they're like, no, MJ's the god. He's not, you take him out of the equation, right? And these pages are just like, some of these dudes are just casuals, right? They're just dumb. So they post dumb things. And then the worst thing you could do on a dumb post is read the comments, because the people who comment are even dumber.
It gets and fired up.
I'm not going to be somebody to argue with somebody on Facebook, but sometimes I feel petty and sometimes I just want to be like, listen, mm-hmm. you're dumb and here's why. But they're dumb. So it's like, yeah, it's like me telling Gunner to stop barking. He don't listen because he's dumb. And here's the thing. They're like, oh, longevity stat. He stayed in the league as long as you want. Of course you're going to, you know, break every stat. Give him another 20 years. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, listen, cool. You could talk about a longevity stat. So I went and did the math on my own. Okay. He passed MJ points for points, right? Mm-hmm. On 1,000 less attempts. 1,000. That's a lot.
How many do you take in a year? Like, was it like a normal star shots per year? Do you know?
I could pull that back up, but
I don't know.
1,000 less, right? 1,000 less attempts. He passed him. So, okay, now you can't call it a longevity stat, because when he passed you, who cares if it was more games? Who cares at that point? It's attempts. That's a stat that matters, right? Not years, not games, not age, mm-hmm. really, right? I mean, age is like for like other stats can make sense. I get that. But for that one, 1,000 less attempts. So he's more efficient, right? And you try to argue that with somebody, and they're like, well, what? Less attempts, more points. That's better. Statistically better. There's nothing you could argue there.
Yeah, it's just really comes down to efficiency. So a lot of the arguments that I'll see, so for anyone that didn't watch or that did watch, before the game against Oklahoma City Thunder, LeBron James was 35 points away from tying the record and 36 away from being the all-time leading scorer. So he got his last bucket, and he was playing mad efficient in that game. It wasn't like, obviously you knew going into the game they were going to force feed him. They wanted him to get this record. There was some chatter about, like, you know, we're trying to win and get in the playoffs, and obviously this is all we're talking about and stuff like that. So obviously the whole conversation is going to circle around LeBron. So the quicker we can get this record done, we can give him his flowers and stuff, but then really focus on the end goal of, I'm sure he's thinking the same thing. We want to make the playoffs and make a run. So he was mad efficient that whole game. Unfortunately, they ended up losing. But yeah, I mean, you see that argument a lot as far as this is a longevity award. And I don't understand, like, when did that become a knock? It's like a backhanded compliment. So if you were to talk to anybody, not even like a professional, anybody at all that like loved playing a sport or loved doing a particular activity, like, hey, man, if you could do this for 20 years at a high level, would you do it? And everybody's answer would be absolutely yes. So why is it when someone actually takes full advantage of their opportunity to play a game they love and not just drag along or just ride the bench, or they're just along for the ride, or rely on their supporting cast or whatever and stuff like that? Like, now, like you said, it's a knock. I don't fully understand it, because what if he played 20 years and was half the man that he is now? Then the argument is, oh, he wasted his talent. He was supposed to be this and yada, yada, yada. Because I can give you one example of someone that did play 20 years that doesn't have as nearly the accolades as he does outside of maybe total three-pointers made, which is Vince Carter. We don't talk about Vince Carter in that same breath because he's not the man that LeBron is, but he played 20 years. So how come he couldn't do it? That argument doesn't make sense to me. So then we have to move on to something else.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and to go back, Rob, to your question about average attempts, I would say average. So field goal attempts average for LeBron's career right now, for the season, he averages about 1,391 attempts a season. MJ was averaging like 300 more than that.
But so I'm just saying, so like, LeBron did it basically in a season less.
Yeah. And yeah. Then you say, like, yeah, he passed, whenever he passed Jordan, whatever season that was, you know, a season less. And I'd say peak MJ field goal attempts for one season was 2,280. And I think LeBron, his peak season is 1,823.
There are almost 500 more shots in their peak the season of shooting.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, eventually, I know we've been teasing it for 20-something episodes that we'll have a MJ versus LeBron episode where we could bring in people on both sides, have a panel, do all that fun stuff, right? But, you know, just like some small things like now that we're talking about it, like some of these stats are like MJ was good, yes, obviously. You know, nobody said he wasn't. If he's not one, he's two, right? But I think some of these things are overblown, and I think maybe that's to do with, like, obviously the era was before us, so, like, our parents and, like, the older guys and are, like, Jordan's it. You can't beat Jordan. Maybe, you know, obviously outside of basketball, he made the shoe game crazy, the athletic, you know, the drip. You know, I think Jordan's shoes. I have more LeBrons than Jordan, but over right now, but in my lifetime, I've had more Jordans than LeBrons. You know, it's like when people say, like, culturally, well, he's the GOAT culturally. Like, that's why he's the GOAT, because it was more than basketball. So I would turn it like, that's why when we have conversations, I won't argue that part. I'll just say LeBron's the best basketball player. I'll keep it just basketball outside of the shoes, the clothes. Because if you want to talk about outside of stuff, I mean, how, like, LeBron does a ton for the community. I don't know about.
You can't, Jordan's you done can't ton, really you know? Quantify that.
Yeah, that's like, that's not what we're talking about, right? If we look just at stats and the math. Jordan put up in every, like, so you talk about, like, scoring titles, right, where they'll put, like, MJ's hardware up in a picture, and, like, look how much more hardware he has than LeBron, and it's like, you know, all his scoring titles there. It was like every year he was in the league, definitely every, for a fact, every year he got the scoring title, he led the league in field goal attempts every, but even some of the seasons he didn't get the scoring title, I think he led in field goal attempts most of his career. LeBron has never in a single season led in field goal attempts. He's efficient.
Yeah,
he'll still drop 30.
Yeah, we don't want it to become a whole what MJ hasn't done. So I think, like, first and foremost, like, you congratulate LeBron James for, one, being able to play this long to amass that amount of points and then still play. He's basically been playing the same level of basketball since after his rookie year.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, like, 19 straight seasons of, if anybody ever wants to do this again, they would have to at least average 25 to 28 points per game from the time that they're in the NBA at, like, 18 or 19 years old, probably 19 because you can't come straight out of high school anymore. All the way until you're at least almost 40 years old. And, like, the best, one of the best scorers or shooters in general right now, I would say scorers, he's not that efficient of a shooter, is Luka Doncic. And he even said, I'm not playing for that long. Yeah. Like, a lot of these guys have other interests now. I think LeBron is just one of those last guys from that very early to mid 2000s era where they wanted to, it was still kind of like that blend between the old school, old head mentality going into, like, you know, the mentality that we see now to where they make so much money now and are interested in so many other things that basketball may not be at the forefront of their mind after year 15, 16, whatever. So, I mean, it's commendable either way you look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I never believed that longevity, like, is a knock. Like, that, it has to mean something that you could play at a high level for 20 years and not see a decline. Like, there was people were talking about 5 years ago, like, well, you're going to be able to do this for much longer. And, like, he is.
He is. Obviously, like, you know, he can't continue to drive the basketball the way, like, he normally did or, like, keep dunking on people like he used to. It's more wear and tear on your body. I mean, you're going to break down eventually, but it's like he's smart enough to know that. You have to, if you want to be able to play longer, you just have to be able to change your game. So yeah, is he taking more three pointers now? He's not the most efficient 3-point shooter. He's not even really close. Like, he's close to the bottom of the barrel this year. between him and Russell Westbrook with being like the worst 3-point shooters, like, you know, in this season. But it's like, he's not going to continue to go into the lane and get pounded and pounded and pounded, increase his risk of injury when he can just cater to how the game is played right now and just, excuse me, hit a bunch of step backs, continue to distribute the basketball, you know, play. He doesn't really play like amazing defense like he used to, but, you know, he devotes some. But yeah, it's different now.
There's ways you can argue everything, because Daniel was talking about how many less shots he took. And I was just reminded of a thing I was reading that posted about how many more games it took. So it's like, it's just which way you look at it. Like, he played more games, but he took 1,000 less shots. You know what I mean? Like, you can literally argue on whatever side you want to. I think that's what makes sports great and why everybody gets so involved, is you can pick a side, and in an argument like this, you literally can argue for the rest of your life and you'll never change anybody's mind. Like, I've yet to meet anybody on either side that's like, it's a good point, you're right.
Yeah, I think if whatever camp you're in, you end up staying in that camp no matter what. The only thing I'll say about between the games and the shot attempts is that in an era where you're allowed to not allowed, but the game has changed to where you are forcibly taking more shot attempts. So, like, you still have the OG 24-second shot clock. But if you happen to get an offensive rebound, you're now forced to take another shot in that, what is it? It's 14 seconds, I think, they reset it. You don't get a full 24 seconds. So you can't just take the ball back out, reset, slow the game down. Like, you know you're going to get another shot up. And then if you happen to miss and get another offensive rebound, like, the chances of your shot attempts going up is much higher. But the fact that LeBron still hasn't eclipsed as nearly as many shot attempts, because it's not like this rule has just recently been implemented. It's been like that for the last, what, 4 or 5 years? So he's had a 4 or 5 year window to continue to just keep jacking up shots to eclipse the attempts that MJ was able to attempt in a slower game, in more of a half court style of play, and he was still jacking up more shots. So, you know, it's like you said, either way you look at it, there's an argument that could be made. But for a guy that's not deemed one of the best scorer of all time, you know, he's always in the top scorer conversation every year, averaging over 25.
And fourth all time in assists?
Yeah, I think so. Fourth, yeah. He's in a fourth or fifth, but it's like, he's not going to be able to catch whoever's in front of him, because I think that's CP3.
Yeah.
And he's still playing. And then John Stockton's just like, no one's catching that guy. That's just insane.
Yeah, LeBron's four. And the thing is, like what Rob was telling me the one time, you know, LeBron is responsible for more points than anybody in the history of basketball.
Mm-hmm. When you combine the assists and the points themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just an overlooked stat. I mean, what was there was another point I was going to make. But how you brought the stat of how many shot attempts is MJ and LeBron taking in a season. Like, I would love to have a couple people that are huge MJ fans come on here to defend their argument of like why MJ is the GOAT. But it's like, we can't. Like, we're able to pull up stats like that, like very minute details about particular things. Like, because if you just look at the baseline stat, oh, well, he scored a lot more points, okay, or like he has more clutch points. But like, one conversation we had was like, okay, well, what is the time frame that's deemed as clutch? Because what we thought was clutch time is different than what the NBA has classified as clutch time. You know, and then that's how they get their points accumulated and stuff like that. It's like, can you give me a breakdown of that type of detail, like more context to the stats than just what they are on face value?
Yeah, because we were surprised at what the NBA considered a clutch time. But then when we did our own research, like, obviously, I want to say like our research, I found somebody who dug deeper and actually came close to what we thought was clutch points, and they had a different list. But yeah, the NBA list, their thing of clutch is kind of crazy, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's like
websites put LeBron as number one for somebody who, for a long time, people called him not clutch.
Yeah, I think when I think of clutch, like personally, like I said, and it's not the by definition from what the NBA deems as clutch, but I always thought it was more clutch when it was like the last possession or like the final minute of the game. It's within a couple points. Like if you were down by one or down by two and you hit that shot that like gave you the lead, like to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, like I think that there's more pressure applied on that person taking the shot as opposed to the game is tied and I'm taking the shot. It still counts as a clutch point if you make it, but it's like the amount of pressure, if you could quantify it, I think is astronomically lower because, hey, if I miss, like we're going to still play for at least a five more minutes,
right?
You know, as opposed to if I'm down by one or two, this is it. Like if I miss, we lose, we're going home.
Yeah.
But that definition, mine is irrelevant. Like that's not true. So, but yeah, I mean, how many more points do you think he'll end up with by itself? How many more prime years do you think he has?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously he's probably going to play for a minimum of, right? He wants to play with Bronny. So if Bronny's a one and done, which that's a whole different story, but that's two more years, right? He has one more year in college and then play the year with him. So he has a minimum of two more. And
because he'd go into college next year, right?
Yeah. So yes,
if he goes to Ohio State, that'd be crazy. You like have to go to a game, especially you, Rob.
I think he's gonna. I don't know. I mean, go wherever he wants. It doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? But I feel like he's just gonna end up somewhere on the West Coast. I think Oregon was one. USC. I don't know if
UCLA won.
I just saw he posted something. I thought it was USC, Ohio State, and maybe. I don't know who that third one was, but I think he'll end up staying on the West Coast. Then he'll get drafted way higher than he should, in my opinion, way higher than he should. So they could try to get LeBron and sell some tickets. But you talk about prime. I mean, you guys have computers, so you can pull up, you know, his stats. If I'm not mistaken, he's not very far off his statistical stats from his MVP year.
He's not off. He's playing above his average.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. So his career average is 27 points, 7.5 rebounds, 7.3 assists. This year, he's averaging 30.2 points, 8.5 rebounds, and seven
less
assists.
Minutes, if I'm not mistaken.
So minutes per game, yeah. 36 minutes. His average is 38 minutes.
Like you said earlier, he's just trying to be efficient, trying to take care of his body.
Like that game, he broke the record. To me, that was like a game where it shows that if he wants to go out there and just score, that's what he does, right?
But did you see how easy it was for him though?
Yeah.
Like there were he caught like an alley-oop and then just a layup. Another one where he's just like slashing towards the basket, easy bucket. It's just like, bro. But obviously, he's at the age where he can't do that every single time. That's why, like, I hate listening like Skip Bayless like mentioned. He's like, I don't know why he just doesn't continue to drive the basketball like this and all. I was like, dude, because he's not gonna make it to the end of the year. It doesn't matter. He spends millions of dollars on his body to rehab so he can get to that point and last into the playoffs, not so he can just continue to score at like some crazy fucking clip. And just, I don't know, like appease everybody that doesn't like him. Like, it's just ridiculous to me. Why would you do that?
Yeah. And the thing, people in general, and think of like these athletes, I get like they're entertainers, right? That they're professional athletes. They're, when you're there watching, they're there to entertain you. But it's still their livelihood, their body, their career, right? Like, if you just want somebody that goes out there and doesn't give a fuck about their body and just want to entertain you, go to watch WWE or something. Like, So when people are like, I know like Kobe was a big one, right? Where I'm playing every game I can play. If it's a minor injury, same with AI, I'm playing. People are here to see me, right? There was that quote that Kobe said, where like people are paying this money to see me play. I'm not going to sit. And right, you respect that. But at the same time, when like we talked about this last, you know, maybe it was like last week or a few days ago, where Coach Pop was like the first one that we've seen like purposely sitting people for load management. Where the point where they were going to fine him if Ginobili, Parker, Duncan didn't play. And he said he had them stay home. They didn't even take the road trip. Stay home, I'll take that fine. They're not going to tell me what to do. And he paid that fine.
Exactly.
Right? And it's like, so that is more thinking long term. Like, yeah, I get it. If I finally bought some tickets to watch the Bulls and Lakers play in Chicago, and I went there and LeBron didn't play, I'd be upset. So I get it being there, but at the same time, it's like, it is what it's his fucking livelihood. It's his
career. Yeah, you know, but at the end of the day, if like what's the end goal? So like, you weigh the options. Would you be? Are you going to be more upset that you didn't get a chance to see him play that one time, or are you going to be more happy that that season ended in him getting another title?
Right. I obviously would want him to get another title.
Because, you know, as fans, this is basically what you end up talking about. You're not going to talk about, man, so I got a chance to see LeBron play and it was just amazing. Like he scored like 25 points as like, what sounds better? Like by the time the end of the year comes and you're like, man, my boy, he won another title again, like best player in the world, like won another title. Like that argument and that accolade holds way more weight than that one game that he decided not to play, because they're looking at the end goal as opposed to like, you know, the MJs and Kobe's and the AIs, like their love for the game was so much higher. And obviously they were looking at it from another lens. Like I want to play every game, no matter what, yada, yada, yada. And as much as they probably still want to win a championship, it's like that season may not have ended up in that way, but it's like, okay, could you have maybe taken a back seat during the season, taking care of your body? Team was probably good enough to maybe win some of those games even without you, and then you probably could have been healthier when you were needed the most. Like that's the type of stuff that LeBron's thinking about, but he gets knocked on that shit all the time.
Yeah, and those knocks don't make sense to me, because or even you're talking about like the love, MJ's love for the game, wanting to play every game. He took 2 years off in what you consider his prime, and some people can speculate whatever reason why he took it, nobody will really know, right? But part of like speculation, you could say that he mentally needed a break. He needed a mental break, or it could have been other things. But LeBron, he didn't take no mental break. He's played in the NBA since he was 18 years old for 20 straight years.
I think, because how many times has he been to the finals?
10 times.
So let's just say in 10 finals, on average, or like bare minimum, if you were to sweep every single game, you're playing a minimum of 16 games, assuming you sweep everybody. You times that by the 10 seasons, that's at bare minimum, you're playing 160 extra games than everybody else. Now, we know he had a lot of 7-game series sprinkled in there. So you could go as high as maybe over 200 more games. So this man's played not just 20 seasons. You can add another 2.5 seasons onto what he's already played more than everybody else, if you're including playoff games.
Yeah.
A lot more wear and tear on his body.
Then you got the FIBA, the Olympics, all that stuff.
You got the Olympics. All-Star game counts as one, obviously. You know, it's crazy. I mean, I'd like to see him play. I'd like to see him play for another, like, three to five years. You know, I would say maybe he's about, like, 3 more years playing at this level, and then maybe like another 2 or 3 if he wants to stick around, like just kind of, you know, just chilling around. But he doesn't strike me as one that would want to like be in that Vince Carter role or that Udonis Haslam role where you're kind of just like chilling in the background, and I don't think he'd do that. He doesn't need to. So, but yeah, that's your man's right there, LeBron James.
LeBron James.
So
when we have, if we ever do have our panel of MJ versus LeBron, maybe we'll wait till he retires. Maybe that by that time we can get everybody together for an hour.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, we'd have all of our facts together, have all the final minute details of each statistic down.
Yeah.
All the counter arguments.
All the arguments are already there. His finals record. He's knocked for making the finals, like, but losing. But if you lose in the first round, it's not a knock. But if you lose in the finals, it's a knock. It don't make no sense to me. But we'll get there when we have it.
Yeah, hopefully. And we know who we're talking about. I know who I want on this panel. I want Robo Krebs and Austin Peebles. I want them both on this podcast, and I want them to argue Michael Jordan till their freaking heads explode. I want it. And I want Rob here to be the mediator.
I do find myself kind of in the middle. It's like, I have arguments for both.
You can be like the She was the old host, but the Joy Taylor to our Skip and Shannon. All right. So, I mean, that's all I got for today as far as basketball is concerned. I don't know if you got anything else that you want to add. We save this conversation for another time.
Yeah, we could save it for another time. Obviously, when we start talking, you know, GOAT status, we could talk forever. And most likely, we'll get off this podcast, hop on Xbox and the PC and get in game chat and still talk about it. But we'll, yep. You know, 20-something episodes later, we'll still tease the LeBron versus MJ episode that we keep saying is coming, but we'll just keep teasing it till the day happens.
Yeah, because honestly, like, I was Team Jordan for the longest time, but I'm so invested, like, in the conversation now that I've found myself over the last, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years to be, like, Team LeBron as far as that conversation between him and Jordan. And it's just, like, it's hard for me to defend Jordan at this point.
There you go, Rob.
There's so much more to be made
found with one.
LeBron. Lorenzo's one too. Lorenzo's like, he was Team Jordan for the longest time, and I don't remember the exact year when he said. He's like, dude, LeBron's just, show me another person that's done what LeBron's done over this time frame, and it just like, so that, yeah, he's the second one. But all right, cool.
All right, dude, we'll get Pops on here too, to our dad.
Oh gosh.
His frustration at all time high.
He might need to take some Tylenol before that one.
Last time I was there, we were talking about, I was messing with them, and you know, me and Rob, we like to argue, and it's fun to argue with him a little bit because he does get frustrated. But
what about one of your uncles?
I mean, who?
I don't know.
Mike,
do you have an uncle or a cousin?
I mean, yeah, we have uncles and cousins, but
no. I mean, like one that's like team. Like I thought you had one that's like heavy on MJ and like shits on LeBron, like heavy.
I don't. Yeah, Sean don't like him, but I wouldn't consider him a heavy basketball watcher.
Okay. So
because he would argue with me. I've had arguments with that dude at B-Dubs where he said that Larry Bird is better than LeBron. So, and I like Larry Bird, and there was a couple year stretch where I couldn't stand Larry Bird because of this guy. But it's like I'm always gonna he's a hick from Indiana. Of course I'm gonna wanna. I like Larry, but I had to hate Larry. Because this dude would be like, dude, Larry Legend's better than LeBron. No, he's not.
That's another thing 2K will do, though. It'll cause you to hate people that you actually like. Like, for the longest, Danny used to kill me with Doug McDermott. Kill me with it. And I had legitimate hate for this guy. And I like him. I liked him in college.
Doug McBuckets, dude. Like,
but it would cause you to, it'll cause you to hate
that
people.
That was funny. Dude, we could do that's a whole funny, episode so. On our 2K history because we'd always, I think maybe more than Rob, but I'd always find some bum that for some reason I was really good with. And it could be somebody that would not great where I could take them with like
Mobamba.
Eighth round pick, right? That'd be a bench player. Yeah, like Mobamba was one that Robbie was jumped on the Mobamba train. But when I look back, I can't think of many names, but there was. Like, I remember Chris Duhon in one of our 2Ks was my backup point guard, and I played so well with him. And it was just there were random players like that. You would just – somehow I would just find. And, before I – younger me, when I would draft, like, our last few picks, I would sort, you know, whatever. Like I said, I needed another small forward or something, right? I would find – out of the, if there was, like, nobody in the top 10 that I thought was good – or everybody kind of melted around the 70 overall. I would just find the best shooter. I would take whoever's the best 3-point shooter because I like to drive and kick in 2K. And then 2K's evolved where like shooting got, you know, wasn't as consistent. You had to start being more athletic. Athletic teams were blowing by the shooters. So like draft styles would change based on 2Ks. But some of the 2Ks, I just drafted shooters. And I'd find some random bum that didn't really get any time in the real NBA. And I just, for some reason, their jump shot animation was like easy for me. And, you know, the patent, he's not even like that in real life.
I can hear Rob saying that, man. Sorry. So, but before we sign it off, rapid fire answer. You pick one player from any year 2K. Who you picking on a blacktop 1v1?
You want me to go first?
Either one of you guys.
The year before this one, or even the year before that, Giannis.
All right, Dan, who are you picking?
Whichever year Giannis he don't pick. That dude was ridiculous. When we had a rule where we couldn't draft him because he was too good.
Do you think he could handle Shaq in that game?
Shaq's going to miss one of those little hook shots because he's also 6'10 and he's still decently strong. He's going to miss one of those hook shots and then it's over.
Yeah.
Because he's going to lower that shoulder, dip around him, and dunk from everywhere. Oh, it's crazy.
He does that in the game?
Giannis gather from a 3-1.
I don't talk about this much, but I played one of my old players when I was coaching out in Iowa. I played him. I think I'm decent at 2K. I'm not like these top crazy. Like, some dudes are like unreal. And one day at practice, we were just talking about it. So I ended up playing him. And he took the Bucks. And we went into halftime. I was down 5. And he moved Giannis to point guard. And I lost by 55 points. He just played him in the middle of the court. He ran a 1-3-1. And they were throwing skip passes like to the corner. And he was jumping up and grabbing him before they can get there. And then he'd beat everybody down the court and dunk on him. It was crazy. I don't remember who
were you using?
Because we were doing, I think we did. No, we didn't do random because that's who we wanted. I think I had, I don't remember who I went with. Not like a really good team because I was kind of being a little like arrogant. Like, all right, I'm going to take. Yeah, like, I'm going to take the Blazers. Or something. Just give me one score. Like, I'll be okay. Nah.
So going into halftime, and you were only down 5.
Only down 5, and all like, he was chilling, doing, in my opinion, was just trying to see how I played. And then after he seen that, he realized I did a lot of pick and roll with the point guard, so he moved Giannis to point guard, and it was over.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Freaking villain, dude. He was just reading you.
There's just so many things where Giannis could do because the guy's fast and beat. And he can get beat, and you think you're just going to, oh, I beat him, easy layup. He just turns around, takes 2 steps, blocks it. Blocks out the backboard, gets the rebound, turns, still beats everybody down court, dunks it. Like, you run a zone, and if you want, and you just stay with him on defense, or even run man-to-man and just leave your guy. Let's say your guy's at the top of the key. He's a good shooter. The ball's in the corner. Giannis is doubling the corner. You throw it, catch, shoot, easy 3. He was so fast, he would get there and block the shot before you got it off.
Oh, my God, bro. What if you both played against each other and you both had Giannis? What would that look like?
I don't know.
You got to try it. All right, cool. Well, we had some good back and forth, you know, our patented hypothetical draft via 2K, giving LeBron his praise. He's still going strong, all-time points leader, so good stuff.
Yeah, and we talked about doing a 5 draft. Rob, I think he might have talked to you about it, getting Dave in here or something. 4 of us do it with, like, current NBA players. So if we ever do that again, whether, you know, it's just us 3 or just me and Brian or multiple people, whoever wants to join that episode, at least we know, you know, saying we'll find out via 2K, you know, if
our hypotheticals. Yes, that I see now. Rob will actually be involved and he'll actually be able to draft his team. Dude, this can be great.
He's gonna start asking me on the no script payrolls.
All right, cool. Got anything else you want to add, Dan? Rob?
No, I'm straight.
All right. Cool. We good to go. Make sure you guys give this a listen, follow, check out our other episodes.
Check out the TikTok from last episode. That TikTok is hilarious.
Yes, you got to check out the TikTok. A lot of people were saying they were just kind of laughing just because me and Dan were laughing. But, hey, I don't care. Whatever gives us the view.
Yeah. And there was an AO pick in there that nobody's caught on to yet. So find the AO pick. Send you a shirt.
Oh, gosh. Excuse me. Yes. Speaking of shirts and apparel. We're still waiting for an episode to reach 100 listens. If you guys happen to get an episode to 100 listens, we're going to raffle off some No Script merch, whether it be a hoodie, t-shirt. And basically, if you follow all the social media platforms, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, you're basically putting your name in the raffle 3 times. So giving yourself a higher probability of getting chosen in the raffle. So other than that, that has been the No Script Podcast.
We out.
Gaming.